Well, I don't know whether in New Zealand you got these stories, these fables, I guess they were. This is not a this is not one of Aesop's fables, but you got those stories of when you were a kid. And I remember, I don't know whether you got them in New Zealand, but we had one in England about the story of the race between the tortoise and the hare. Did you get that here in New Zealand? You did? As children, did you get that? So where the story of the slow tortoise. And I used to get very excited, you know, when at the time when he was going to go to sleep, when the hare was going to go to sleep, and he was going to get overtaken by the tortoise, and I was, go on, tortoise, get on there, give him heaps, and he did. It was a very arrogant hare, wasn't it? Do you remember that? And as he fell asleep, he was overtaken by the tortoise. But when I hear that story now, I don't get excited like I did many years ago. I wish I did sometimes, but I don't. And it's because I don't see it now as a race between a tortoise and a hare. I see it now as lessons about life and about character. It's lessons about overconfidence and arrogance. There's lessons about the twists of life, that things don't always happen as we think they will happen. We expected this, but wow, it doesn't happen like that. And so there's those things. But when I was a child, I only saw the sort of surface story without seeing the deeper important principles of life. Well, in a way, that's what Jesus is doing in these verses, that chapter 4, verses 21 to 25 of Mark's Gospel. We're just looking at those first few verses which were read. And that's really what Jesus is saying. Now just let me refresh your memory. Last week we saw Jesus begin to teach in parables. And he explained why he taught in parables. Jesus, in parables, sort of sifted people. He kind of sorted the men out from the boys, if you like. He sorted believers out from false believers. And he said that believers would understand the parables. He would understand what they're saying. But many would only understand the surface meaning. They wouldn't understand their deeper meaning, their spiritual meaning. And not because it's complicated. Not because it's difficult to understand, and so they can't understand it. It's because they won't understand it. They don't want to believe. Well, here, in these verses, Jesus underlines the importance of listening carefully to these parables. They're not just clever stories. They're not just things with principles of life, things which we see on the surface. Each parable is a deep theological truth about Jesus. About who he is and why he came, and the need to respond to that truth. And if you do nothing about these parables, if the people 2,000 years ago did nothing when they heard Jesus, and if, for example, this morning, after hearing this parable of the lamp on the stand, you just sort of walk out of church and there's no response, then you are in terrible danger of facing eternity without God. That's what these parables are about. That's the seriousness of the parables that Jesus taught. And why Jesus keeps saying, listen carefully. He keeps saying, listen carefully. He who has ears, let him hear. Well, let's look at what Jesus says on the three headings and then how we should respond. He actually gives three warnings. Firstly, he warns them to open their eyes. Verses 21 to 22, do not put a light under a bed. Now those words are a little bit like Jesus said in Matthew. Remember, he was teaching his disciples the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew chapter 5, he said, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill, he said, cannot be hidden. Nor do people put a light under a bed. They put it on a stand for all to see. So let your light shine. That's what Jesus said in chapter 5. And Jesus there was speaking about Christians being lights for Christ in the world. Well, here, he uses a similar picture. He uses the lamp and the lampstand and don't hide it. But he's not teaching the same thing. It's not quite clear in the NIV, but in the Greek you can see that it's quite different. For example, the definite article is used when it says the lamp, meaning the lamp. It doesn't say a lamp, it says the lamp. And it doesn't say, do you bring a lamp, like the NIV says it does. It says, come. So it reads something like, does the lamp come for the purpose of being placed under a bowl or a bed? Doesn't the lamp come to be placed on a stand? Now do you see the difference? And more importantly, do you see the importance that that difference makes? Lamps don't come, they are brought. But the word is, come. And the definite article is the. Does the lamp come for the purpose of? So what's Jesus talking about? Or rather, who is Jesus talking about? Who came into this world? Who is not a lamp, but the lamp, the light? Jesus here is not speaking about Christians being lights. He's teaching about himself in these parables. And he wants the people to open their eyes and see his life now, what he's doing, his miracles, his teaching, his healings, his power, and put those together with the parables that he's teaching and see who he really is and why he really came. And what he's telling people to do regarding himself is simply open your eyes. He's simply asking them, telling them to think, use your common sense. In verse 11, he said, the secret of the kingdom of God was given to them. And remember from last week, the secret of the kingdom of God is Jesus himself, who he is, what he came to do. That's the secret of the kingdom of God. But when he says secret, he doesn't mean secret in the way that we mean it. He doesn't mean secret in that he doesn't want certain people to know this, and so he hides it from those certain people. No, he doesn't mean that. He means it's hidden unless a person wants to find it. You see that? If you're around in the 1960s, there was a group in the 1960s, a Salvation Army, you know, the Sally Army, and they actually had a number one record in England. And the song which the Sally Army people sang was called, It's an Open Secret. That was the name of the song. It's an open secret, I want you to know. Isn't that great singing from me? Anybody remember that song? Yeah. Isn't it a great song? The old Sally Army were great. Let me read a line from what it says. It's an open secret, I want you to know. That was the title of the song. It's an open secret, I want you to know. And that's what Jesus means by secret. You can know, anybody can know, Jesus wants you to know, but you must want to know. You can know the truth about Jesus, it's very plain from these parables, but you must want to know. In other words, you must exercise faith. It's not complicated, it's not an unknowable secret, it's something that people are trying to keep from you. You can know it if you want it by exercising faith. I hear people often say, I've heard it over the last couple of weeks, oh, I don't understand the Bible, I don't understand all those things. I understand the stories, and I like the stories about David and Goliath and the Good Samaritan and the prodigal son. I understand those stories. But that Jesus is the Son of God, and the cross, and salvation, and sin, and how to know God, I don't understand those things. Well, the truth is, you can. It's just that first, you must want to understand, and must want to know the truth about Jesus, and second, God wants something from you first. Believe. Faith. God will never force you. You must want to believe. And then God will open your eyes. That's exactly what God does regarding Jesus. Look at verse 21. Does the lamp come for the purpose of being placed under a bowl or a bed? Jesus is asking, did God send Jesus Christ into the world and not show him to the world? That's silly. That's as silly as being in a dark room and wanting that dark room lit up, and so lighting a lamp, and as soon as you light it, shove it under the bed so you can't see anything. What's the point? That's ludicrous. No, God sent his Son into the world, and when he did, the world knew it. Within a few months of Jesus' ministry, all Israel had heard of Jesus. Over the next few years, Jesus' name was known throughout the Roman Empire. Now he's known all over the world, everywhere, in every generation. Even the world's dating system is built around Jesus. The year is 2010. 2010 years since what? Well, since our Lord Jesus came. No, God doesn't bring the lamp into the world and hide him. He lets everybody see. He shows them. But they must want to see with the eyes of faith. They must want it. That's the first thing. Secondly, then in verse 22, another warning. Whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. It doesn't appear at first glance, but that is a monumental statement. Jesus is looking down the corridors of time, and he's seeing the last day. He's seeing the day of judgment. And he's saying that what is concealed now, what people won't acknowledge and believe about Jesus Christ now, will be disclosed on that day. That day will be a day of disclosure, a day of revelation. Everything will be revealed. God will reveal fully Jesus Christ. It won't be a secret then, there but veiled. It won't be that. It won't be there if you want to see it, but sort of hidden. He will reveal all. We will all stand before Jesus. In Matthew 25, Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes in glory, he will sit on the throne, and the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them. Those on his right will go into glory, and those on his left will go to eternal punishment." And all this will be revealed. It will be revealed on that day. But Jesus is saying here, in these parables, it's revealed now. It's in the New Testament for all to see now. God, who he is, what life is about, where life came from, where it's going, it's all been revealed. But only if you will see. Only if you come in faith. I don't know about you, but I see all sorts of philosophers in this culture, don't we? We have all sorts of philosophies on life. Everyone has an opinion about the world and life and death and God and life hereafter and where it came from. On the news this week, if you're watching the television, you'll see that somebody has come forward and said that they've said that a scientist has now created life. Actually, when you read it carefully, you'll find that he didn't create the cell, but he used bacteria, and that makes a huge difference. So what he's created, well, only God knows at the end, but it's certainly not life which God created. But we all have these opinions. But it's all guesswork. At the end of the day, it's all what I think, or so-and-so's theory, or his theory from over there. At the end, there's nothing to base it on. And it's mostly what suits me. But Jesus says here, there's no need to guess. There's no need to start thinking, look at all the books to find out the answers to these questions. God has revealed it. It's all there. Life, death, eternity, salvation, God, what God wants from your life, what he doesn't want from your life. It's all there for you to see, if you want to see it. But people don't want to see it. Why? Well, because people basically don't want to live for God. People want to live lives for themselves. They want to do what they want to do in life. They're not interested in what God wants from them or what his rules are. They couldn't care less. They want to live life as they want to. People might talk about God, and they might believe in God, or that such a person exists. They might pray to God when difficulties come in life, or when they face death. But they don't want God involved in their life now. And so they shut their eyes to what Jesus is really saying. Yes, it is true that some people today, they like what Jesus says on a surface level. They like what he says about loving each other. We should love each other. They like what he says about looking after the poor and that we shouldn't judge each other. But they don't like him when he says, repent and turn to God. Don't live your life for yourself. Live for God. And love God above all things. They won't listen to that. Nor will they listen to what he's saying in these parables. That he is the Messiah. He is the Savior, the Son of God. It's there. It's plain if you want to open your eyes, but they refuse to see it. Jesus says in verse 23, if anyone has ears to hear, then let him hear. On the last day, these are not my words, this is the Bible's words, this is Jesus' words, this is God's word. On the last day, not one person will have an excuse for not coming to God in this life. Not one person. Because all hearts will be open. And then Jesus says in verse 24, consider carefully what you hear. With the measure that you use, it will be measured to you and even more. And again, this is very simple. If you and I continue to live by the junk which is churned out in this society about what life is and where it's come from and what we should do, etc., which comes from human philosophy, which might make me feel good and allow me to selfishly live for myself and nobody else, but which has no basis of truth, if we continue to listen to that, you will move further and further away from God. That's what Jesus is saying. Or if you just continue going through life not listening to God's voice when you know God's voice is there, and refusing to seek what God really says in Jesus and what he wants from you. If that continues, then your heart will simply become harder and harder and harder towards God. I said last week that the seed that fell on the pathway are the people who hear the gospel, but who they won't allow it to penetrate. They put shields up and they won't hear it. And their hearts are hard towards the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ. And remember I said that those people, they're not people who just hear the message once and then forget it. They hear it many, many times, but they still refuse to have faith. And what's being said here is, the more they hear it, the harder they become towards it. That's why statistically, young people are often converted much more easily than older people. If you're 40 years old or 50 years old, you've simply been listening to the junk longer. Which means we're not as open to the gospel as we were some years ago. And that's what I often find in my preaching. I knew it in my own life. But that's what I often find. I preach or speak to middle-aged men or women, and many of those people say, oh no, I've heard Christianity before. I'm not religious. I've been with people over the last couple of weeks. I'm not religious, Wally. I don't want to know those things, Wally. And that's what middle-aged... And the older they get, the less they want to think about it. Oh no, I don't want to talk about that. It's religion. I don't want to talk about those things. Whereas often, not all the time, but often, young people will. They will think about those things. They will discuss those things. We must think about these things, whatever our age. Because the message of Jesus in verse 24 is now. Now. With the measure you use is present tense. It's now. You must open your eyes and put your faith in Christ now for salvation. The decision as to where you spend eternity is not made on Judgment Day. It is made now in this life. The decisions that we make in this life have eternal significance. I always remember that line. It struck me in the film The Gladiator. It struck me when I first heard it. And I say it over and over again in some circumstances. You remember when Russell Crowe, you know, he's got the deep voice, so I can't do that, you know. He says, what you do in this life echoes in eternity. Remember that line? What you do in this life echoes in eternity. That is true. That's what the Bible teaches. And then in verse 25, Jesus says, whoever has will be given more. Whoever doesn't have, even what he has, will be taken from him. This is the opposite. The more a person is willing to learn about the kingdom of God and Jesus, the more God will teach them. If a person is willing to believe, to step out and say, Lord, I believe. I don't understand all these things, but I believe. I'll put my trust in you. Please show me the truth. God will bless that. God, with that attitude, God will give and give and give. The more you seek to know God, the more he'll show himself to you. If a person is not willing to step out in faith, if he makes excuse after excuse for not following God, or I haven't got time to do those things, or I'll do it sometime later in life, I know there's a God and I know that these things are true, but I'll follow God later in life. Or intellectual pride. Oh no, I'm not listening to that. You know, that's very basic, those things. 2,000 years ago. I mean, look, those people who wrote those things, well, it was just... If you continue to make excuse after excuse, God will show you nothing. You will receive no truth. God will never bless, listen to this carefully, God will never bless unbelief. But He will bless faith. No matter how small, no matter how shaky or how fragile or how weak, God will bless faith. Verse 25 also looks to the future, on the final day. On that day, if you have trusted God and lived this life for God, then the blessings of eternity will be more than you and I can ever imagine. You've loved God in this life. You've looked forward to being with Him. Then He will give to you fully of Himself in the next life. But if a person won't believe and remains spiritually dead to God, then on the last day, what little spiritual life he did have will be taken away. You will not know God in eternity. And my dear friends, not to know God is to exist in eternity without God, without any love or goodness whatsoever. Therefore, it is an existence only of unimaginable pain. Now that's what these words of Jesus are about. They're not just like an Aesop's fable. They are the truth. And from them, I see a great responsibility on three groups of people. Firstly, on preachers. It is the responsibility of every preacher to expose Jesus from the Scriptures. I get tired of reading articles in newspapers and magazines or hearing on television and radio people spouting off who they think Jesus is. You know, that He was just a good man. He was just a good teacher who taught us all about loving one another, but He wasn't the Son of God. He wasn't divine. I get tired of that. But I get more tired when I hear it preached from the pulpit. And who Jesus is, the Son of God, and what He did, died on a cross for the sins of the world, is not only not being preached in some churches, it's often questioned. Who Jesus is in many pulpits is at best made out to be a mystery or hazy. At worst, it's openly denied. 40 years ago, in Western society, in New Zealand, this was the odd liberal theologian who said those things. But not now. It's filtered through into many pulpits. And so we have all sorts of vague preaching about Jesus. Even questions and doubts, even denials about His death and His resurrection. There's absolute confusion. He is concealed, not revealed. On the other side of the coin, many churches present Jesus as a sort of miracle worker. You know, as the giant disprint who will take away all your pains and all your problems, and He's just there to bless you. That also is keeping Jesus hidden. And so preachers must work hard and study the Scriptures to expose Jesus, to reveal Him. My task each Sunday here is to reveal Jesus, not to cast doubt on who He is and what He came to do, nor to present Him merely as a miracle worker or a social worker or a do-gooder. It's not my task on a Sunday to talk about me all the time in the pulpit. It is to reveal Jesus. That is every preacher's task. Secondly, every Christian has that same responsibility to reveal Jesus in their lives, and that's twofold. First, we need to learn more about Jesus Christ. That's why church every Sunday is important. And it's why it's important to prepare ourselves. Jesus said, listen carefully. He wanted us to listen. And so we must ask God to open our eyes and ask the questions What deeper truth is the preacher revealing here? What is he teaching me about Jesus Christ? And just Sunday sermons aren't often enough to learn about Jesus Christ. Your own study, a couple of hours a week maybe, morning readings, Bible study groups perhaps. The measure you use will be used to measure you. Whoever has will be given more. It is absolutely crucial that you and I never stop learning about Christ and growing in Christ. Paul says in Colossians chapter 1 verse 9, I pray that God will fill you with the knowledge of his will and with all spiritual wisdom and understanding, growing in the knowledge of God. He wants you and I to grow spiritually, to spiritual maturity. And the more you learn, the more he will teach you. And at this special time, let all of us at St. John's commit ourselves to learning more about Christ. Commit ourselves to being here every Sunday and preparing ourselves to listen. And the second responsibility is that this knowledge is not just stored up here doing nothing. Colossians 1 verse 10 again, listen carefully, follows on. And we pray this, which I've just said, and we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, bearing fruit in every good work. Jesus said to his disciples, you will be my witnesses throughout the world. And so as Christians, we must grow in our knowledge and our understanding of Jesus Christ, which in turn will be demonstrated in our everyday lives. Your daily life as a Christian should reveal Jesus to others in how you live, how you think, how you speak, how you behave. Your life should reveal Christ. Now it's sad that often many of us conceal him. We don't live as we should. Some Christians hide the fact that they're Christian. On a church on a Sunday, they're Christian, but other times of the week, well, he actually makes no difference in our lives at all. People will never want to know about Jesus Christ unless they see that he makes a difference in our life. They'll never want to. Thirdly, very quickly, the greatest responsibility on this parable, though, is on those not living for God, who are not following Christ. It is a warning to open your eyes and respond. The people that Jesus spoke to that day believed in God. You understand that? They believed in God. Many of them were religious. They went to the temple and they prayed, but they were blind to God himself. They thought themselves to be good people and decent people because they went to the temple, but they didn't really live for God. He was actually nowhere in their lives. And Jesus said, open your eyes. And that's addressed to most people today in this society. The majority of people in this society don't want God. Even good and decent people, as we think they are, who say that they believe in God, they actually couldn't care less about God. Now, they might believe that God exists, but they ignore him totally in their lives. And when you try to talk to them about these things, well, they say, oh, well, I haven't got time. Or they say, oh, I do believe, but I believe in my own way. Thank you very much. And in fact, that's exactly what it is, isn't it? It's their own way. It's not God's way. Well, the warning is for those people. God didn't send his son, Jesus Christ, and hide him. You can close your eyes to him, you can block off your ears to him, you can put up your shield and say, I don't want to know about these things, and you can go through life with Jesus concealed. But God says, you know, and I know that you know. I've given you enough light. I've given you enough knowledge to find the truth. It's all there, all you have to do is look and believe. My dear friends, I say this, and I don't say it in arrogance. I say it as humble as I can. On the last day, there will be no excuses. There won't be any excuses. You won't be able to say to God, well, I didn't know. I didn't understand. Nobody told me. I was going to do it later in life. I would have believed if it was clearer, but there was so much junk around. I just didn't know. Now, you won't be able to say that. God has made it absolutely clear. It's all there. All you need to do is look and listen. And so it is your responsibility and my responsibility. If a man spends years and years on a ship and doesn't find out where the lifeboats are when they're signposted all over the ship, that man is a fool. Only foolish people don't bother to find out how to save their lives. So is any person who ignores Jesus' words. In chapter 7 of Matthew's Gospel, he calls them fools. And so I beg you, I plead with you this morning. If that is you, open your eyes. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we find it difficult to hear these things. But we thank you and praise you that you do tell us. And thank you that it's perfectly clear. Help us, dear Father, we pray, to keep faith. And I pray for any person in this room this morning who is wrestling with these issues of faith and following you. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would now speak with them and that you would now be with them and give them the strength. Give them the courage. Give them what's necessary to follow you. And we pray these things, dear Father, that your name will be honored and glorified and that of your Son. Amen.